We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Man, Butters was just telling me how cold it's going to be starting this weekend, you said? Is that what it's going to be? Good gosh.
I'm seeing a high of 29 next Tuesday.
On Tuesday, you said, or Sunday? I thought it was Sunday.
Sunday, it's dipping down into the 20s.
Are we looking at snow?
At night. No, it's all...
Frigid weather that freezes everything it knows.
Well, it makes sense to get that cold, and it's no clouds and all that kind of stuff.
What, in January of last year, we had that super cold snap down in the single digits, like high of 9 degrees one day? I think it was.
Yeah.
That's like frozen tundra cold right there. There's something different about Alabama cold because it's got that humidity in the air that seeps into your bones.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I know what Charlene's going to say. You've been saying you're going to get the fireplace ready. Yes, dear. So I'm pretty sure that's what I'm doing.
That's probably going to be a good plan.
That's a good plan. I got a few text messages to catch up on as we jump in here. But Marcus from Huntsville, flipping back to that Tom Selleck discussion, he said, I watched Quigley Down Under again last week. I forgot how dark that movie gets with the imagery and the things that happened to the Aborigines. But Roy was a good guy. Roy. That's what she called him. Roy. Yes, it was. Doman from Harvest says, if you as a barrister advised your client to ignore a subpoena, can you be charged? No, you have an opportunity to try and move to quash a subpoena. But generally speaking, you do respond to a subpoena. I can tell you right now, what they also did was they technically responded by just having them show up a little bit later in the day. You understand, don't you? I mean, it was passive aggressive. It was pretty sick. By the way, I won that case, just so you know. Doman from Harvest, thank you very much. Daniel from Tullahoma, Tennessee. Oh, he's probably asking about Hunter Biden, though. All right. So, you know, it's a great point. I would not be a bit surprised if there might not be, you know, some grievance that can be filed with the Bar Association in the states where they're licensed. I don't know. It's a great question, Doman. I don't know. Daniel from Tullahoma says, Hunter blew off the closed door questioning because he would be under oath. Then he goes in front of Congress. And then when he goes in front of Congress, they can use that info against him and catch him in a lie. Exactly. It'll be sworn testimony in both cases. But what you always want when you go into the more public venue of trial is the opportunity to then cross-examine based upon previous testimony. So, I mean, I've used it many times. You walk into court, you got the deposition in your hand. You say, well, where were you on the night of so-and-so? Oh, I'm sorry. Can we turn to page 17 of your prior deposition? You realize you were under oath then too, right? You said you were here. Why did you say now that you're there?
So hard to remember all those lies.
Yeah, exactly. Just tell the truth, man. Truth doesn't change. Ken from Harvest says, we got a lot of textures from Harvest today. He says, could the sergeant at arms detain Hunter since he was at the House of Representatives? My thinking was yes. I don't know that for a fact, but my thinking was yes, that the sergeant-at-arms could have detained him, but since he has not been found in contempt yet, I don't know that for a fact.
And I'm not 100% sure that PR that would come from that wouldn't be, I mean, that's pretty easily spun in some way. I mean, do I feel like it should happen? Yes, but okay, well, what does that look like for, you know, thrown in the media in front of leftists and...
Yeah. I don't know. Barry from Athens was watching Where Eagles Dare. That's a great movie. Where Eagles Dare, starring Clint Eastwood and Richard Burton, the head of the British MI6 agency, was introducing Eastwood, who was the only American in the team of agents. He told the MI6 guys, as you can see, he, Eastwood, is wearing the American Ranger Division markings. I think that speaks for itself. Outstanding. Thank you, Barry. Appreciate you. All right, number one triple dipper. I'm going to introduce it right now. We're going to kick in right after the top of the hour. But listen, this is a big, hairy deal. Illegal displacement is what I'm calling it. I don't know if you heard this or not, and I'll give you the details in more after the hour, the top of the hour. But we just had a situation yesterday. Cold snap coming through. I get it. It's a dangerous time for people that are homeless. I get it. It's always been that way. They set up warming tents and warming stations. Except that in this case, it's 2,000 illegals that are being displaced into a high school. The kids are being told not to come to school. They're going to have to do remote work from home. so these illegals can be housed. And that, to me, is absolutely wrong. But it's the kind of thing that's happening everywhere. Do you know that we've made available for taxpayer-funded housing vouchers for illegals? Did you know that we've got opportunities right now for illegals to take over entire airports and terminals? Did you know that we're looking at things like, oh, I don't know, how about violations of federal law that they would normally hold you and I to on environmental concerns about setting up things in state parks and national parks? It goes on and on and on. We are being illegally displaced by illegal immigrants. And there has got to be a resolution sometime soon. The House passed a bill trying to stop federal funds. Did it go anywhere with Schumer? Of course not. We'll talk about it more in a minute. Illegal displacement. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
To Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. I got a little ahead of myself. It's hour number two, which still feels like, where did hour number one go? Who took hour one? Where'd
it go? It's okay. I give you Army guys, sometimes counting can be tough.
Well, I usually have to skip ahead because that's what Air Force and Navy always flies on, is an hour difference than everybody else. Okay, so number one, triple dipper, illegal displacement. I don't know if you heard this or not. Just to give you some backstory before we jump into the displacements themselves, the epic levels of illegal immigration coming across our southern border, and by the way, it's an invasion. Let's call it what it really is. It's an invasion. If 304,000 troops marched across the border, it'd be a whole new day. Well, 304,000 illegals streamed across our southern border in the month of December alone. Alone, 304,000. Y'all, we're at almost 1/3 of a million in 1 month. That's unsustainable. It's unreal. Well, then there's the question of where are they going? Where the frick are they all going? I mean, where do these people, I mean, they're not all still sitting in Eagle Pass, Texas. Story on Fox News came out 2 days ago. Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas of the Department of Homeland Security told his border agents that, well, you know, the number is about 85% of them are in fact being released into the interior of the United States. So, yeah, that's 304,000 people in 1 month. We're looking at millions just during the Biden administration's term. Such gross negligence. Anyway, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas on Monday admitted to Border Patrol agents the current rate of release for illegal immigrants apprehended at the southern border is above 85%. Mayorkas made the remarks when meeting privately with agents in Eagle Pass, Texas, according to three Border Patrol sources who were in the room and heard the remarks themselves. You know why they're telling the press? Because they're ticked off. They're tired of it. They are worn out. They are done in. The Customs and Border Patrol is the most overworked, underappreciated organization probably in the U.S. inventory right now. The conversation happened during the muster for agents in the busy border area. Fox is told that Mayorkas was asked directly about comments he made on Special Report last week when he was asked by Brett Baer about reporting that over 70% of migrants are released into the interior each day. He said, then it would not surprise me at all. I know the data. Okay, great. He said, by the way, we are enforcing the laws that Congress has passed. No, sir. No, sir. You're not. Fox is told that on Monday, agents pushed him on those remarks during the meeting, saying the number is even higher than 70%, and Mayorkas acknowledged that there was a release rate of above 85%. This isn't an admission on their part. This is no longer a, we didn't realize it was that big. This is not a, oh, holy cow, that happened? No, this is a, yeah, we're tracking it. Oh, by the way, we're helping them. So where are they going? Well, they're going to all of our communities. And it's, by the way, it's not just the big cities of like, you know, San Francisco, LA, New York, Chicago. No, it's small town America. Everywhere. You cannot have millions. Picture this. Millions of people released into the interior of the United States. There's only 50 states. Start doing the math. Well, they're coming in droves. Some states more than others, but they're coming in droves. Every state is a border state right now. So did you know, I did not know this, I did a little deep dive, and this is what I do, so you don't have to, right? I do this resourcing of the show. How about this? In May of 2021, Fox Business ran an article on something that most people didn't know was out there. It says the Department of Housing and Urban Development had made its changes to the Emergency Housing Voucher Program to make it easier for illegal immigrants to receive free housing on the taxpayer dime. We're not even talking about shelters now. Now we're talking about housing vouchers that allow you to go into, I would assume, things like Section 8 housing and other opportunities for reimbursement to your landlord. It was all part of the American Rescue Plan for COVID. Did it really rescue anybody from COVID? Did it rescue the economy from COVID? Did it do anything worthwhile except drive the economy into inflation? I don't think so. $80 billion Congress spent on that one during the Nancy Pelosi era. $5 billion of it was for emergency housing vouchers because, you know, COVID made people homeless. Did it really? To be distributed to people experiencing homelessness, victims of human trafficking, and survivors of domestic violence because, you know, everything got worse during COVID, I guess. The vouchers can be used to pay for any housing unit where the landlord will accept them. Recipients pay 30% of their income toward their rent. The remainder is picked up by the government. So a 70% of your rent voucher. Tenants who do not have an income need not pay anything. So the easy thing to do there is just not work. Get you a voucher. It'll cover 100%. Why work when you can get free housing? But what happened was HUD, in May of 2021, removed the requirement that you had to provide proof of citizenship to join the program. So they got it passed in March. And look at that. 2 months later, suddenly, vouchers required no proof of citizenship. Pray tell, Butters. Why would that be? I know, I'm using pray tell again. He shakes his head at me now. HUD is consequently waiving the requirement to obtain and verify Social Security documentation or other documentation evidencing eligible citizenship status before admitting the family to the program, wrote Dominique Bloom, the General Deputy Assistant Secretary for Public and Indian Housing. Now, this is unreal. So I wonder how many homeless Americans that need a housing voucher are going to find that the cap has been exceeded because illegals were given the vouchers. You don't have to have a proof of citizenship. Are you here? That's all we need. Here's your voucher. Do you have a job? You don't have to. Why work? Go live. It'll be great.
Do we need to bus the homeless folks down to the Rio Grande, have them swim across and then swim back, and bam, they've got housing?
That's a workable solution. Could we go ahead and describe that? Oh, I'm sorry. Too many of them are on fentanyl, which also came across the southern border.
I thought I was onto something there.
Yeah, you had a solution for a minute there. But your point is well taken, though. I mean, so we have this whole thing is on illegal displacement. So if you're an American citizen and you're homeless, you are right now playing second fiddle to illegals who are coming in with no homes. by their very nature, they're not going to be homeowners or have a home to go to because they're here illegally. They broke the law to get here. They came in with whatever's on their back. And they walked across the Rio Grande, literally, because it's shallow enough, they're walking across. They walked across that muddy river. They climbed through the barbed wire, over the obstacles, and then surrendered themselves to the first law enforcement they could find and were given free housing. How about this? States are starting to freak out. I bring you this one, courtesy of the Washington Examiner, from October of this past year. Democrat-run sanctuary state Massachusetts will soon close its doors to immigrants who illegally crossed the border and were released into the United States only to travel to that New England state in need of housing, work, and food. Governor Maura Healey issued a blunt warning to families across the state in need of shelter that it would put its foot down in terms of assisting people find overnight housing despite its shelter requirement law. Now, let me make sure you heard that. She put her foot down, they say, to families across the state in need of shelter because they were exceeding their capabilities because of illegals. So if you're a homeless family, if you're American citizens, but you're a homeless family in Massachusetts, you may be out of luck. They have a cap of 7,500 statewide, 7,500 family housing capacities. At present, this is October, they had 6,945 families or 23,000 people in the family shelter. It says families are then also being held in motels, college dormitories, and impromptu shelters. Of those four, only one of those was set up for illegals. The rest are places where U.S. citizens had to be displaced. Motels, hotels, college dormitories. Are you hearing that? I'd love to know what the alumni think of not being able to get their kids into a dorm because it's housing illegals. And I'm wondering how many of those are public institutions. And are they, are they public institutions that built the dorms and did so on the public dime, but are now making money off the government contract to house illegals in their dorms?
Well, what does that mean for the general like safety and atmosphere of the campus and, you know, all that, all the other stuff that comes with it?
You bring a great point. So, you would question whether or not the Department of Homeland Security might go, oh shoot, we didn't know that was happening. Well, no. Says in the same article that at Governor Healey's request, a team from DHS visited Massachusetts in early October to see what they were facing with illegal immigrants. I feel certain nothing happened. Healey and Representative Jake Auchincloss, who's a Democrat out of Massachusetts, are calling on President Joe Biden back in October to help the state. Massachusetts became the latest in August of last year to declare a state of emergency over its inability to handle thousands of illegal immigrants, saying, we need the Biden administration to compensate for the tremendous cost of sheltering the migrants. So what we have here is a displacement of American homeless. All right, we're going to come back from this break. Let's move into, oh, I don't know, maybe not the homeless. How about just school students? How about kids who can't go to their Little League games? How about airports where you can't no longer fly out? It's massive. And it's illegally displacing U.S. citizens. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like saving the world. One sound bite at a time. I am in number one of the triple dipper. We had some breaking news earlier, so I had like a mini dipper out of it, talking about Hunter Biden. And then now we're on number one, which is illegal displacement, talking about the number of illegal aliens flooding across our borders that are not just flooding across, but then they are also displacing U.S. citizens from their access to, you know, normal routines, to their schools, to the facilities that their tax dollars have paid for, they're being completely displaced. Not only that, but they're also disrupting the economies in certain areas. It is unbelievable what our country, our communities are having to sustain. Before I go any further, though, I got a call on the line real quick. Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, Phil. I'm in a big vehicle, or single occupancy, I guess you'd say. So, but you've got that big right side radio studio there. I mean, how many illegals do you not take in? I mean, you could put up a lot of people in that building.
Yeah, well, you know what? Gosh, let me pray over that and get back to you. No.
Oh, come on, man. Do your part. Do your part.
Oh, God. It's small town, too, and that's one of the things that really gets me. I don't know what y'all are seeing in Indiana, but it's happening in every state for the most part.
I mean, I'm in a rural – we haven't really seen that much around where I'm at because, I mean, there's already, you know, the illegals that's there is basically doing the farm jobs and the – And building trades, I guess. I had, you know, had a roof put on Mom's house here the other day and everything, but there was one guy that spoke English, and I guess the rest of them couldn't speak a word, so, you know.
But you know what, though? And we're used to seeing some of those Hispanic crews that come through, and they actually do have a great work ethic, and they're working hard. But we're watching our southern border right now being just ransacked with people from Nigeria and from, you know, China and from Vietnam and from we're not seeing what we used to see, which was, you know, folks from Central and South America, sometimes Mexico, coming north looking for work. We're just seeing people that are just looking to come here and displace us.
Yeah, and that's what I want. You know, let me borrow your lawyer hat there for a second.
All right.
Now, the illegals coming in from other countries other than being national Canadian or Mexican nationals, how can they do that when they've already crossed the different countries they could have seeked asylum in, but didn't, and coming here just for, you know, how can you seek asylum here is what I'm getting at is how can you seek asylum here when you're lying and just saying, I want to have a job. I want to live in the United States.
Yeah, because you are absolutely correct. How can they? Because the Biden administration is ignoring it, despite the fact that Mayorkas says they are enforcing Congress's law. The laws on granting asylum say that if you left your country of origin, then the first country you went to, you have to show that you attempted to, you know, receive asylum there. They're not. They're passing through any number of countries to get to us. So we're abusing the asylum laws under the Biden administration. I say we. We're not doing it. You and I are not doing it. But you know what I mean.
And that's what I'm trying to get at. Could a court order, you know, everybody's got all these, you know, asylum cases, you know, court dates and everything. Now, if you're not a Mexican or a Canadian, can they just take it and say, well, you know, this is a fraud on the court. You've made a false statement, and we're not going to see your case, and we're going to have you deported?
I would love to believe they could, but the DOJ is opposing every effort to do that kind of thing. I mean, the DOJ right now is suing Texas for like the third time just for daring to say, we're going to put up a border. No, you're not. What do you mean? It's our border. Nope, that's our job. But you're not doing your job. So, but the reality is, I think the DOJ would oppose any effort to try and bring that to bear. We got to do everything we can to change things through this next election, man.
Yeah, and I'm afraid we're going to have a lot of Canadians seeking asylum, and which they probably should be granted because Trudeau is basically a tyrant up there, isn't he? So yeah. I think they have a legitimate claim for asylum, some of them.
I think most of those that are leaving socialist countries don't want to go to Canada. And by the way, that brings up a point, though. You know, we're seeing a major up. It's not like southern border in terms of mass numbers, but in terms of percentage, we're seeing a major uptick on our northern border because we've got people that are flying into Canada who has fairly permissive travel, entry requirements, and then they're just traversing their way down through our ports of entry into the northern side. And like the state of Maine is saying, they got a real problem. Not like, you know, Eagle Pass, Texas, but they got a real problem in the northern border too.
And that's a very long, unenforceable border. I mean, it's the length of the United States, so.
It is.
I don't see how you could. How you can even try to enforce anybody coming in through Canada. So, but I mean, there's no way that we're going to be able to sustain what we're having. I mean, just the housing alone, let's say if they were all ordered to, how come we don't have a refugee camp, basically? Because they're not citizens. They're not due to be released into the United States without, you know, how come they not have refugee camps?
Yeah, you make another great point, which the music's playing, so I'm going to have to go. But the refugee camps, I don't know, maybe they don't want it for bad optics. They'd rather put them in a hotel in Brooklyn where no one can now rent a room than to actually have tents. Hey, I got to go, brother. Be safe on the road. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming up. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. It goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. By the way, before I go to the phones, I will tell you there is a breaking news right now on Fox up on one of the big screens here in the studio. At 5 p.m. Eastern time today, which is 4 o'clock, it says that Chris Christie intends to make an announcement in New Hampshire. Speculation abounds that he'll be ending his campaign for the presidency right before the Iowa caucuses, which would then in turn give a bump to somebody. I don't know that he's polling that high in Iowa right now anyway, but the Iowa caucuses are next week. So Chris Christie, special announcement coming up top of the hour. We'll tell you what it is when it comes. In the meantime, going to the phones right now, Wolverine Dan, where have you been, my brother? Did we lose him?
As a president, and take up blowing paint through straws.
Wolverine, hey, man, you weren't quite on the air yet when you started talking. I missed the first. How you doing, by the way?
All right, okay. I thought you were going to announce that Joe Biden's going to retire and then take up a hobby and then, you know, make a little extra money blowing paint through straws.
Now, I don't know that he can even blow paint through straws right now. Does he have the wind for that? I'm not even sure.
Well, he's got a lot of one. He's been blowing a lot of smoke up my butt.
Well, how you been, man? We hadn't talked to you way too long.
Phil, I've been a little busy lately, if you don't notice.
Cheering for Michigan?
Oh, yeah, baby. Woo! My new name now for a full year, Phil, is Natty Danny.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what?
I'm an Auburn fan, but
I'm an Auburn fan, but I still refuse to call you Natty Danny, just so you know.
Oh, I know. Everybody, I say that to people down here, and I ain't going to do that. But I called, you know, and I haven't listened to a lot of political stuff. I haven't been watching it. I wish you would go to sports, because I'd love to listen to you in sports, but be a sports guy. But you know what? I'll say this. I haven't listened much, I'll be honest with you. And you know what? And the sad part is I won't hear you that much, which I don't. But it's awfully nice not to even listen to the garbage that's spewing, not from you, my friend, but from these other left-wing tree-hugging lovers, and not to mention the political swamp talk that I don't have to, you know, force-feed down my mouth. Bottom line is, Phil, it's not a bad gig. Think about maybe taking up maybe sports, and then maybe you can just get rid of all this crap.
It is funny you should mention that. We actually had somebody come on the show yesterday, and we began to be curious about whether we could add sports somewhere in the lineup. But right now, we will continue with the current theme of conservative news talk, patriotism, and community action.
Well. Speaking of that, I appreciate your service every day. Every time I wake up in the morning, how much I appreciate sacrifices that you left your family to fight for this country, be with and do things for us, and the people that lost their life unselfishly to fight for our country. That means everything. You know, and I told the call screener, which I said to him, I said, listen, bottom line, I'm grateful to be in the USA. I was born in the USA. And, man, if I was an immigrant, I'd do everything I can legally to get my butt in this country because it's the greatest country in the world. And y'all wake up every day and thank God and kiss the ground you walk on that you're in the greatest country in the world.
You are absolutely right. On the one hand, I recognize they're here illegally, but do you fault them for wanting to come here for where they were?
And Not at all.
But the reality is we still got to be a nation of laws at some point. This has got to, we got to get this under control. Man.
Well, in closing, I'll say go blue. I know you don't want to say the N-word now that I know you don't like that, but I am that N-word. I am that right now.
Wolverine, Dan, don't be so long, man. Get on back on the air sometime soon.
All right, brother.
All right, we'll see you. A couple of text messages before I go forward. By the way, Butters, I'm not sure when's the last time he called in, but Wolverine Dan is often a regular, and we've probably not had him on in about, 60 days? I mean, I don't know where he's been.
I think that's the first time I've talked to him.
Wow, okay. Joe from Athens says, lots of illegals here in Athens. Just go to a Walmart, listen to all the different languages, not just Spanish, just saying they are here. Oh, wow, Joe. Raven from Russellville. He says, by the way, Colonel. Oh, he says, first of all, he says, ouch, that hits a nerve, Colonel. We were displaced, but in a different way. Yeah. He said, if we wanted to apply for a job, a loan, or et cetera, we couldn't let it be known that we were Vietnam vets, especially SF. Still makes me mad. Then he says, by the way, Colonel, I want to thank you for all you do and all you've done for your country. Salute rendered. Raven, it is mutual, brother. We appreciate you, and thank you so much for what you've done, and welcome home. John from Brownsboro said, does the New York case against the bus lines for $700 million set a precedent for border states and townships to form a class action suit for their losses due to the federal government failing to uphold their mandates to enforce the laws? So here's my response to that. No, there won't be a class action. Do I believe that a state attorney general could get involved? Potentially. But that case that I'm seeing right now against the bus lines, if it's the same one you're talking about, is not a case in which we're looking at class action style. What you're looking at there is a city trying to enjoin the buses from bringing any more to their communities. What you got, man?
The government's all in. It's all our money. It seems like, but I don't know. Putting blame on bus lines and stuff like that. It just.
Yeah. It. By the way, it's not your money until they tell you it is.
Yeah. So I do have a question from the Special Forces.
Yeah.
Hat.
All right.
So, how long you think it takes to get a formidable force at the volume of people coming across that border?
Huh.
You know, what do you think? Like 10,000 a month, a couple months? You got a pretty decent.
Let's see. If you have to mask them in the crowd, then what you're going to want is probably military age males, right?
Yeah.
Reasonable health.
Yep.
Yeah. Distinguish themselves by coming across without families. Yeah. Within a crowd of 304,000 like you had, go ahead and figure that 40% of those were probably kids. All right, so whittle that down a little bit. Now you're at 170,000 people. Within 170,000, let's see, what does it take to have a division? Well, let's see, if you want a division of people, you're looking at probably it would take you, I'm going to say within 4 to 5 months, you've got a division of assets here in the United States. And then tell them what their rally point is. And this brigade's over here, that company's over there, these saboteurs are over there, here's your go date. The cartels provided you with arms and ammunition, and it's a scary thought. Do I think they're that organized on a large scale? No, I think part of the design here is just to overwhelm our systems. Just overwhelm our systems and create unrest. Look what's happening in Europe. They riot when they don't get what they want now. Well, you're here illegally. You're an immigrant. You're not French. You're not German. You're not... We want more. You will give us more. And there are actually places in Paris now where the police won't go. They set up enclaves, and they run things under Sharia law or under the laws of or the customs of their country. And it's just, we can't have that.
Mm.
We can't. But to answer your question, I think we have far surpassed the ability to get a division of people across the border and then just tell them when to form up.
Mm.
So, illegal displacement. Here's the story that kicked all this off for me. I got two stories here that broke in the last 2 days. This one on Daily Wire. City officials in New York City are evacuating 2,000 illegal immigrants from a tent shelter that was set up on an airfield due to high winds and moving them to a high school gym. So the kids were all told don't come to school today. One teacher, a gym teacher, says they told us we had to get everything out by 5 p.m., but they sent the email at 6 in the morning. I don't know when we're going to be able to be back. That same teacher said, what I want to know is why here?
Thank you, sir.
Why not send them somewhere where students would not be disrupted, where students' learning wouldn't be disrupted? Keep in mind, the tents that they were coming from were already on an airfield. So there's an airfield that is probably in some way unserviceable, or at the very least, is being stretched in its capacities. They went from Brooklyn's Floyd Bennett Field to Brooklyn's James Madison High School. 2,000 illegals pushed the students out of their school. And I had a liberal troll this morning on my social media. Don't you care? What would Jesus do? Well, I'm pretty sure Jesus would have said, you know what? We're a nation of laws. But take care of those that are, I understand. I get it. I know what your point is. It's benevolence. It's taking care of people. Well, they're here now, so you don't want them to freeze to death, right? But did you have to displace the kids out of their school? Are you telling me there wasn't something else you could have used? Are you telling me there wasn't a hangar at the same airport where they were, you know, put in their tent cities? Why didn't you displace a few airplanes out of the hangars? But no, you displaced 4,000 students from a high school. 4,000? Yes. So a local city councilwoman, a Democrat, took major issue with this and issued a statement blasting city and state officials saying, our schools are not migrant shelters, exclamation point, and went on to say there are approximately 4,000 students who attend James Madison High School, and their parents are rightfully concerned. Our constituents who live in the vicinity are concerned for their safety, their well-being. This will agitate local residents. It will disrupt the entire school environment, and it places a burden on our families, our students, and our school administrators and staff. Yes, it does. All the above. So 4,000 kids can't go to school so that 2,000 illegals can come off of an airfield where they were already stretching the resources and move into the gym. Tell me why that makes sense. It doesn't make sense. But I've got one more story before the break. Oh, Butters. Story on Fox News, Dateline Today. Republicans accelerate their probe into the Biden administration's actions to house migrants on federal lands. So you got the story I just told you about. There was also, by the way, that was also part of Gateway National Recreation Area. So property located in New York City's Brooklyn Borough, managed by the National Park Service. Oh, so it was a park facility paid for with tax dollars. Yes. According to Republicans, the White House's migrant housing plan appears to also disregard environmental concerns. How many times have they send inspectors in to shut down a business or to put regulations in place to make it difficult for farming or to shut down military training because they found a red-cockaded woodpecker? In September, it says, amid the ongoing migrant surge at the southern border, the Department of the Interior agreed to lease out portions of the National Park Service's Floyd Bennett Field and then constructed temporary housing on the lands along the shores of Jamaica Bay. Republican leaders have pointed out that prior to the decision to lease the property, the Department of the Interior had been arguing that such an action itself would likely violate federal laws. They don't care. They're going to go ahead and displace U.S. citizens and do what they've got to do for the illegals. We'll come right back. I'll wrap this up. Don't keep in mind, by the way, top of the hour, Grand Council. We will cover down on that one. Yeah, it just gets thicker. I got more. It boggles the mind. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Coming up in a few minutes after the top of the hour break, we will have the Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson, so stay tuned for that one. Got a few text messages, and I'll tell you a few things that are also in this dipper we're doing on illegal displacement. Mike from Harvest, he's talking about the cloven piven. I'm aware of that, and I think I probably need to do a whole monologue or something on that sometime soon. He says several divisions worth could have crossed. Oh, I agree. Several divisions. We were just speculating as could you get that many across. I'm thinking they would have masked them a little bit tighter and maybe have a division, but nonetheless, there's a whole bunch of saboteurs that could have crossed that border. JT Lacey Springs, what would Jesus do? Likely a miracle. JT, well put. Steve from Owens Crossroads, Colonel, I would be surprised if you have not slept in a tent in high winds and cold weather. We have the equipment and the means to house these people without displacing kids in school. You are so correct, man. Yes, I have slept in major winds, cold weather. And it's, you know, you just give them extra blankets and some space heaters. I mean, there's ways to do this. Raven from Russellville says, Butters, I want to also thank you for your service. I should have mentioned that earlier. He says, those big F4 Phantoms rolling out of the clouds, Central Highlands, were an awfully welcome sight when our butts were in a sling. So,
I bet. I bet. That would have been cool to see.
Thank you for your service, Butters. Gary from Decatur says, displacing students makes perfect liberal communist sense. Dumbing down our children is a huge part of their agenda, and the COVID lockdowns and distance learning folly has showed that it worked better than they thought it would. Jeff from Indiana says, I think instead of hiring bus companies, take the illegals to New York, just give them enough money and for an Uber, and they can pay their own way in. don't laugh. It's coming. Mike from Athens says, where is FEMA with all these illegals? What a great question. Here's the other question I have. Where is the United Nations with all these illegals? I thought the United Nations, the UNHCR, the United Nations High Council on Refugees, they set up tent cities everywhere in the world.
They don't have our money to pay for it.
They do have our money to pay for it. They just put it in other parts of the world. They just go in, U.S. will take care of it. U.S. will take care of it. U.S. will take care of it. Oh, by the way, where's our next check, please? So just so you know, and of course Schumer hasn't taken it up, but in December, there was a bill passed that prevents federal funds from being used to house illegal immigrants on federal lands. It passed the House of Representatives, as we would expect, on party lines, I'm certain. But the Senate is not even bothering to respond to whether they're going to take it up. That story on Fox News came out a month ago. In the meantime, it is not just what's happening in, like, New York City with the school, right? Which is a major headline. Elon Musk is lashing out after on that same issue today. But we just, oh, by the way, had a breaking piece on social media. I'm looking at it right now. O'Hare Airport in Chicago says parts of the airport were sectioned off to house illegals. There were too many of them. They have now overflowed into the terminal area. Now, the person's sources said they were mostly Hispanic men, and he was being asked not to record. So why are they trying to hide it? And I'm looking at the imagery right now. I mean, it's video, so it's real. They've got entire sections masked off with black curtains. Where do they find so many black curtains, by the way? But it's on there. Speaking of which, in Chicago, city officials, according to local WTTW, in October of this past year, city officials were met with anger and frustration at a 29th Ward community meeting about plans to convert what is known as the Amundsen Park Fieldhouse into a migrant shelter. It's basically a community center. It's where Little League teams meet. It's where Boy Scout troops meet. It's where local citizens have taken a lot of pride in putting their tax dollars and their time and their sweat equity into making a nice community center. A lady named by the name of Zerlina Smith Members, who is described as the president of the Quincy Strong Block Club, said the community has poured its own time and resources into making the Amundsen Park Fieldhouse what it is today. Said it means so much to Southside Chicago because it has so many programs, not just for our youth, but for our mothers, our parents, our seniors. That community is predominantly homeowners, people who have been there for years. They've invested their money and time in that park, buying air conditioners, providing uniforms for kids' programs. That park is a hub to the Black Austin community, and they're frustrated because right now they are finding out that there are plans in Chicago to convert that into a housing facility for illegals. Eric Adams, mayor of New York, suggested last summer that private citizens should begin housing illegals in their homes. That went nowhere. But then the last one you look at is a story in October that Heritage put out, Heritage Foundation. President Joe Biden would never come out and say, we value illegal immigrants more than we do our members of the military. But how come we're having so much trouble getting quality housing for military troops, and yet we're paying through the nose to house illegals in places like hotels in American cities? It's a great point. It needs to be asked on a regular basis. Illegal displacement. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, the Grand Council, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.